Here in the United States next week, the Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates, but that probably won't be enough to restore the damage done this week on Wall Street. To say it's been another bad week for the stock market doesn't seem to do it justice. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 7.7% over the past 5 days, its worst week since 1989. The NASDAQ was down slightly more, and since its peak last year, it has lost 62% of its value. Joining us to talk about this dismal performance is our friend from the business world, Joe Nocera. He's also executive editor of Fortune magazine. Hi, Joe.
Hi, John. Been a rough week, hasn't it?
It has been a very rough week. All eyes are turning to the Fed now, but can the Fed action really help the market at this point, do you think?
It seems pretty unlikely. And the market is desperate to hold on to something to give it hope. And they're looking to the Fed to cut interest rates really quite substantially on Tuesday. In fact, one of the reasons Friday was such a bad day was because there was a slight uptick in one of the consumer confidence numbers that came out, and people thought, oh my God, if there's any more consumer confidence, maybe they won't cut it enough and it won't revive the market. I mean, but the market's problems now are so deep, ingrained, psychological, and fundamental that it seems to me that it's going to take a lot more than a Fed kickstart to really get it revved up again.
Yeah, we've decimated the dot-coms in the market and the new economy stocks, and everyone said, well, there was a bubble there, that's just fine. It needed busting, but now we're getting deeper into the old economy and the blue chip stocks. What's the rationale here?
First of all, the dot-com bursting of the dot-com bubble has had a very large ripple effect on the big profitable high-tech companies like Cisco and Sun and Oracle and so on. And that's why they, I mean, think of it this way. As recently as 2 quarters ago, Cisco could sell all the product it could make and then some. Suddenly, Cisco can't sell anything. So that's very real. Now, there's a second thing that's going on here, I think, which is I think we've come to the point where tech is such a dominant force in our economy, not just in the stock market, but in the economy, that you can legitimately say you can't really have a bull market anymore without tech.
And it seems like we're at a point now where the market and the economy have been joined more closely together. A month ago, people were saying, well, the stock market's down, but the economy is still there. It's sluggish, but it's growing, and it's separate from the market. Now it seems like there's this psychology that's developed as people are seeing their perceived wealth fall, that, you know, the psychology, the confidence, all that's eroding, and so the two are sort of becoming one.
Well, they should be one, really. You know, I mean, one of the really bad things that happened in the bubble was this total separation between the real economy and the stock market. And this obviously is most particularly noticeable when it was dot-coms with no profits that had, you know, market caps of $10 and $15 billion. A large part of the reason that they're being joined back together again is because at bottom, you know, in the end, stocks follow earnings. And when profits go up, stocks tend to go up. I mean, it's really basic stuff that we sort of forgot about for 5 or 6 years there. What's happened is that as company after company after company announces earnings shortfalls and then they announce layoffs, the stock market has reacted to this. And the stocks are cascading down to join the earnings that are cascading down. And that's what it's almost like two skiers racing downhill trying to catch each other. The really scary part here, John, is that as much as prices have fallen, earnings have fallen so much more that some of these P.E. ratios.
That's price earnings ratio. That's the amount of profit compared to the value of the share.
Right. These value measurements are still higher than they really ought to be.
And we saw this week there was an announcement that I think for the first time ever since they began keeping these numbers, the actual net worth of American households was down.
Right. And that's directly related to the drop in stock prices. America is a country now that invests, which it didn't used to do. And household wealth has risen in part, at least, because of capital gains. People have become wealthier in the stock market. And, you know, suddenly everybody's favorite stocks are being hammered. And people's wealth is down. And the amount of money they're putting in their pocket per paycheck is probably not down, but their total net worth is definitely down, and that has a huge effect on the way people think and act.
Who's being hurt most by this sell-off? Did all the Wall Street big shots sell and leave us poor 401k folks holding the bag?
You know, as is so often the case, the average investor is holding the bag to some extent. But Wall Street mutual fund managers and hedge fund managers and people who buy and trade stocks, they haven't done very well. I mean, they've been getting hurt pretty badly, you know, also. And I think it is not out of the question that you'll see in the coming months, a number of hedge funds in particular basically liquidate because their stocks have tanked and people are pulling their money out of the funds.
Can we hope for anything if the Fed rate cut this coming week doesn't help? Can we hope for anything from the Bush administration or anywhere else to turn this thing around?
Well, the Bush administration is putting its chips on the tax cut. But even a tax cut as huge as the one that they have envisioned will be a drop in the bucket and will not create the kind of spending spur or economic growth spur that they're talking about. The Fed cut, when you think about it, does have the potential over the long term to help revive the economy. I mean, that's, you know, rate cuts are not really intended to give a short-term boost to the stock market. They're supposed to infiltrate their way into the economy and make it easier for people to buy homes, make it easier for companies to borrow money, and in fact, lower the cost of money and make economic transactions easier to take place. But that doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a series of months, and it requires some patience. And a lot of the problem with the psychology here is that people think, okay, we'll get a rate cut, and then the next day the stock market will revive. Well, that's really not the way it works, even though it has been the way it's worked over the last few years. But that, in my view, is a historical anomaly.
Thanks very much, Joe. It's been great to talk to you again.
It's been great to talk to you, John.
Joe Nocera is an executive editor at Fortune magazine. He joined us from New York.